listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. We have to be careful that we have more than just the letter of the Word. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. But we also have to be equally careful that we have everything according to the Word. And how thankful we can be that we have God's holy Word, His unchangeable Word, given thousands of years ago, first as God inspired Moses to write it, then the other prophets, then the Gospels, then the epistles to the churches, all from God to us, all His holy Word, of which He wrote by the pen of David, the psalmist, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thy name. Listen to the last stanza. O send Thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within Thy Word, and in Thy book revealed, I see the Lord. Read today from the book of Acts, chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 13. At midday, O king, here Paul is before King Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue until this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such a one as I am, except these bonds. Let's pray that God will give us understanding of these words, and especially that we will know the message of Christ and his resurrection. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, he who is the new and living way, he who is the way, the truth, and the life, he who has said that no man cometh unto thee but by him. We come to thee, Father, in his name. For who he is, thy Son, thine only begotten Son, and also all that he has done in his death, in his resurrection. We pray, Father, that we may be taught by the Holy Spirit all the things of Christ, even as thou dost tell us, Lord Jesus, that when he comes, he will take the things of thine and show them to us. We pray that we might have them so that some will for the first time today believe and receive thee. Others will grow in the grace and the knowledge of thee and be revived. We pray for that blessing to be given in the church, reviving. We pray for the blessing of awakening in the world, and that many might have the blessing that thou, Lord Jesus, did command Paul to do, saying to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, that they might receive unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified. by faith that is in Thee, Lord Jesus. Thou art the one by whom we can be justified. Thou art our only hope for sanctification, to have Thee, Father, to make us to be conformed to the image of Christ by Thy Word and by Thy Spirit. We pray that that might take place today. We pray it might take place in the churches, in our homes, in our nation. We pray that it might take place in every nation throughout the world, both Jew and Gentile, that those amongst whom Thou wast born, Lord Jesus, will have that spirit of grace and supplication given to them, that they might mourn after Thee, whom they have pierced. We pray that Thou will also give the temporary blessings that we also need and are given all from Thee. Thou alone, Father, art the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give thanks for the gift of health when we have it, and pray for those in sickness and injury, those in hunger, those homeless, those, Father, in sorrow, those that are suffering in other ways, broken homes, those that having lost loved ones, that are alone. We pray for every one, Father, that they might have what they need, all through Christ. Amen. Here, once again, we have another time in which we can see the resurrection of Christ spoken of, as Paul rehearsed the time that the Lord Jesus stopped him on the way to Damascus. Years before that, probably 25 years before this, now Paul coming closer to the end of his ministry, on the way to Rome, and would there finally die. But he not only spoke of the Lord Jesus as the living one that had spoken to him, but he also said that he preached himself none other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. There we have the message needed for you and everyone else. Yes, you and everyone else. Every creature, every nation. It is to be preached throughout the whole world, beginning at Jerusalem, as the Lord Jesus gave order on the day of resurrection. This message of himself, the message of repentance and remission of sins, through his name Jesus, because he died for our sins, the name of humiliation, his name also of Jesus as Lord, being given a name which is above every name, the resurrected one, the exalted one, in heaven, where he spoke from to Paul as he refers to it here before Agrippa. First he spoke of the resurrection of the dead in a general way, when he was before Agrippa, the earlier part of this 26th chapter. We read in verse 7 that he referred to the promise made of God unto their fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? And that was especially, I think, referring to Christ being raised from the dead. Earlier, when before Paul was here, Felix, speaking to Agrippa, said that he had a man there that was bound over from Festus. And we read in Acts chapter 25 that the Jews had certain questions concerning him of their superstition. And then the last part of verse 19, and one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Yes, as we saw last week, when Paul was there at Athens, speaking to the Athenians, the Greeks, how he was described from the beginning of preaching Jesus and the resurrection, how to the very end of his message, he again ended that message with the fact that God raised him from the dead. Yes, as we read there, Paul said, I preach none other things than Moses and the prophets said should come. It's the message of all of Scripture. Christ suffering. Christ dying. Christ rising again. Yes, I repeat, all of Scripture. The Scripture as we sang it. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou dost break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Yes, the living Word. The living Word. Who died and rose again. Is spoken of throughout the Scripture. It is spoken of Moses and the prophets. It is spoken of in the Gospels. If we think again of the afternoon of the resurrection, John and Peter went in the morning to the tomb, and they are described as coming back, and then they are described, John himself writing this, of himself and Peter later, when we read that as yet they believed not the Scriptures, that he must rise again. Yes, that was the message when they came away from the sepulchre. For as yet they knew not the Scripture. They should have known. These men were Israelites. These were Jews. They should have known the Scriptures. They should have been, even as Paul said to King Agrippa, unto which our fathers serving God instantly seek to come day and night. And there were some that did know it. But here the apostles who had been with Christ, who had heard him say over and over and over again that he would suffer, die, rise again, didn't hear his words and didn't know the Scriptures. For as yet they knew not the Scriptures. Another place we can read where the angels reminded the women that he had spoke to them in the way. And then they remembered his words. Yes, it was there. And as we have seen before, and I'd just like to hastily go over the book of Acts again to show how this is throughout the message, throughout their lives. There, the first chapter of the book of Acts speaks of Christ, describing him there. Verse 3 of the first chapter, to him also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. And then describing some of the things he said to the apostles, and then the description of how he was taken up to heaven. The second chapter, the last part of it, it describes the day of Pentecost with Peter preaching. And over again, he refers to the fact of how David spoke of Christ being raised from the dead. Also, directly of what had happened shortly before that, verse 24 of that second chapter, speaking of after Christ was crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up and loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Yes, when the Old Testament scriptures speak of his suffering and his resurrection, it would not be possible for him to stay in that state of death. The prophecies had been there, and now they were fulfilled, and in this way, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And Peter continuing to speak of Christ and David prophesying of it, he said, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Sometimes the raising up is in a general way, and sometimes it is particularly the resurrection after the dead. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. In the third chapter, again, more of a general way, the last verse of that third chapter, where Peter says, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Yes, he was raised up as the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, born of the Virgin Mary. And then when he was crucified on the cross, he was raised up out of the tomb and there to bless everyone who heard those words. Everyone who will believe those words will be blessed. That's how he turns us My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Yes, have you been turned by the voice of Christ? The fourth chapter we read how that when they forbid Peter and John to speak, the tenth verse it says, be it known unto you, all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Then he refers to the Old Testament, David's words in the Psalms. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In the last part of that fourth chapter, we read, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Oh, how we should pray that we'll have that again. It was given on the day of Pentecost. It was given when Peter was sent to Cornelius. It was given when Paul went to the Thessalonians at other times, that there was power with the word preached. And pray that God will give it once more, as he did in Reformation times. Great awakening, over and over it was given. In the fifth chapter we read, Peter said, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What a blessing! Through the risen Savior, the exalted one, who does this with his right hand, on his right hand now in heaven, over and over, that will be incorporated throughout this book of Acts. We can see it again and again when Stephen was preaching. Again, he referred to Moses and what God had said to Moses as recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Here again, the raising up is like the root that is out of dry ground that Jeremiah spoke of. And as Isaiah said, when we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. But God raised him up, though men would not see beauty in him. He raised him up and exalted him. Yes, exalted him. He's there now. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. We can also read when Stephen, after he had given this message concerning Moses, concerning other things of the history of Israel, and then finally coming to the fact, asking those people, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one. The prophets killed the one that showed the coming of Christ, the just one. He said, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers. But where was Christ? Stephen said, I see the heavens open, and I see Jesus stand on the right hand of God. He's often described as sitting there, but here Stephen saw him standing in victory, standing to receive Stephen forever and ever and ever and ever to be with the risen Savior. We can go on. The eighth chapter, verse 35, where Philip is with the Ethiopian eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the scripture of Isaiah, Christ's suffering. But in that same context, he shall see the travail of his soul. He will see the results of his suffering and be satisfied. Only a risen Savior could have that. And he was the one that Philip was now preaching to this Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing, he was then baptized over and over and over again. In the ninth chapter, again we have Christ speaking to Saul. We have it three times recorded. Once in the chapter that we read, where Paul rehearses that in Acts chapter 26 to Agrippa, once before the Jews in Acts chapter 22, and here we have the original happening in this ninth chapter, where Paul heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yes, Saul was persecuting the risen Savior through those who had believed on him. Then again, we can read of Saul after his conversion. He is described in the 22nd verse of that ninth chapter. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Yes, the very Christ of the Scripture. The very Christ of whom the other apostles have said, we have bound the Messiah, which is called Christ. Then we go on to the next chapter, chapter 10. We read there in verses 39 through 41. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even us, who did eat and drink with them after he rose from the dead. This was Peter going to the house of Cornelius, the first time the Gentiles were there to, in a degree, after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus had spoken somewhat to different women, Samaritans, but here, this is the message to Cornelius. Christ raised from the dead. Yes, he is alive. There are those who will not believe it. Those who want to take some of his good teaching, but not the crucified, resurrected Savior. And without that, we cannot be saved. Then we have further the rehearsal of Cornelius and how that God had shown him that he had a call for Peter and tell him words by where he would be saved, and those words are the words of the risen Christ. Then we can go on to the 13th chapter. We find Paul, after he had been stopped and called and preaching, as we saw a couple weeks ago, he preached the risen Christ over and over and over again, and all the way up to Agrippa, preaching the resurrection of Christ and saying that he would wish that he was like himself, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching Christ, the suffering, dying, resurrected Savior. Believe on him today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.